All right, now we'll be on to proposals. Number 17, Travis, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Go ahead, the stage is yours.
All right, I will try sharing. I'm not able to share my screen, so if Chris can fire up that short PowerPoint.
Travis, you should be able to share your screen now.
All right, do you have the PowerPoint up?
Yes, we do.
Perfect. Well, good afternoon, Secretary Roebling, members of the Commission. Thanks for having me here today. I just have a brief presentation on sage grouse for you today. Hold on just a moment here. All right, are you seeing the second slide with a big, beautiful sage grouse on it?
Yes.
Perfect. All right, just a quick introduction to sage grouse. Sage grouse is the largest grouse in North America, and as their name suggests, they're dependent on sagebrush habitat for most of their life cycle, including food, shelter, and nesting. Their distribution and abundance has steeply declined since European settlement over the last 100 years or so. Now, if we look at the distribution of sage grouse, this map just shows the current distribution in dark blue, and that lighter blue color is a larger area that was historically inhabited by this bird. If you kind of zoom in, here's our little piece of the pie. Obviously, we're on the very eastern fringe of the sage grouse range, and we only have about a fourth of the population in the range, and really less than 1% of the occupied range occurs in South Dakota, primarily in western Butte and Harding counties. Now, what's pretty unique about South Dakota is that our habitat occurs on a transition from, in Wyoming, where they have lots of sagebrush, it's tall, has high canopy cover, and it transitions through the prairies of western Dakotas. And this is pretty typical of our sagebrush habitat here, where it's pretty sparse sagebrush with lots of grass. So it's very unique and very different than much of the main range. Well, like I said earlier, sage grouse populations have seen a lot of pressures over the last 100 years. Some of these challenges include loss of habitat primarily. This has been caused by more frequent fire, where wildfires are more prominent now with more people in the landscape, and sagebrush takes a long time to come back from that. There's also a lot of energy development, tree encroachment. Some sagebrush has been converted to agriculture. There's also weeds and annual grasses that have changed the habitat out there. There's areas where improper grazing occurs, and even places where sagebrush has been sprayed and eliminated. Some other threats is, some populations are small and isolated. We see disease out there such as West Nile virus, which is a brand new disease. It's only been in this country for about 15 or 20 years, which can also have an impact on these birds. The sage grouse has been petitioned for endangered species listing protection several times. The most recent decision occurred in 2015, and they came out with a not warranted decision, so that the sage grouse is not listed as a threatened or endangered species under the Endangered Species Act at this time. One thing that we do as far as sage grouse management, a key part of it is population monitoring. And just like prairie grouse, if you're familiar with sharp-tailed grouse or prairie chickens, sage grouse, they congregate on lek sites in the spring and do displays to try to attract a female. There's a picture here of kind of a typical site that you might see from late March to early May. This provides us a really good opportunity to do standardized population monitoring both here in South Dakota and throughout the range. Now, if we look at the data for South Dakota, probably the line that goes through there is what you should key your attention to. That's the number of males counted on lek since about 2005. And as you can see, we did hit a peak back in the mid-2000s and has kind of been more steady between that 150 and 250 time period over the last 10 years or so. This may be a poor representation because the 2005-2006 period was kind of a modern-day high, so I just don't want you to think that our population is on a a straight downward crashing, because that 2005-2006 period was a pretty high period for our sage grouse, and they weren't historically always that high in the previous 20 years before that. One thing we do know, that we see that pretty steep decline into 2008-2009. We did document some West Nile virus in our sage grouse population, so that could be a culprit for why we saw that pretty steep decline in that 2008 time period. Recently, there was a range-wide population assessment for sage grouse, where basically all states provided their LEC data and kind of populated a national database. And one of the products of that was looking at whether populations were increasing or decreasing throughout the range. And basically, this map, you could think of each of these polygons as a subpopulation or a cluster of LEC sites. And the colors correspond to whether those populations are increasing or decreasing. And basically, the bottom line here, if it's a red or an orange, that's a declining population. And if it's more of a green or a yellow or blue, that's a stable or increasing population. But the story that I really want to tell here is that the peripheral of the sage-grouse range, whether you're in South Dakota, North Dakota, eastern Wyoming, or even the peripheral of the range out in western states, that seems to be where you see the population declining the most. And that's pretty common with any species that is in a decline at the range-wide level. We seem to see those populations decline faster at the edge, and that certainly seems to be what's happening with sage-grouse, maybe here in South Dakota, but also throughout the rest of the range as well. So we do have a sage-grouse management plan here in South Dakota. It is expired. We kind of have been kicking the can down the road for getting that updated as we get some research data written up and finalized. So we do have a pretty good draft of an updated plan that we'll be presenting to you here probably in the next month or two. So I'm going to kind of go into a few of the highlights of some things that are in our sage-grouse management plan. You know, really key to sage-grouse management in South Dakota has been partnerships and collaborations, especially on the habitat front. One of our key partnerships is with the NRCS, where our department supports a full-time biologist that is stationed in an NRCS office and works directly with landowners on habitat projects and grazing infrastructure to really make sure that our ranchers and producers out there have the tools they need to do good habitat work and stuff that's good for their herd as well. We also work pretty closely with the BLM. They own a fair amount of land within our sage-grouse range, and in 2015, they did finalize or update their resource management plan, which is kind of the guidelines for their lands out there, and we provided a lot of comment and worked with them as they produced that planning document for their lands in sage-grouse range. Here's kind of a footprint of our private habitat program staff out there. Our people have boots on the ground doing habitat work. And as you can see, we do have three or four staff out in northwestern South Dakota that are within striking range of our sage-grouse range. Matt Gottlob, who is in Belle Fouche, I believe, is our main NRCS sage-grouse biologist, but we also have a couple other folks out west that occasionally work in that sagebrush system as well. You know, another topic that's covered in the management plan that is hunting. And hunting can be somewhat controversial with a species like sage-grouse that has seen some pretty steep population decline. But regulated hunting is the cornerstone of the North American model of conservation. It's a system that keeps wildlife public and a sustainable resource, and it's scientifically managed by professionals. And many greater sage-grouse populations can and do support hunting under this model. So although it can be a bit controversial, there is a science side to this that does occasionally support sage-grouse hunting. One thing with sage-grouse, they are obviously an upland game bird, but their management related to hunting needs to be approached a little bit differently. Sage-grouse are generally a longer-lived species and generally have lower reproductive potential. So harvest has to be much more conservative. Harvesting a bird can have more of an impact than it would on a species such as sharp-tailed grouse that are generally shorter-lived and have higher reproductive potential. So within the management plan that I guess will guide the proposal that you'll see today, the number that we look at is 250 males on all of our LECs that we count. So right now we are a little bit lower than that, so our recommendation will be to not have a season. The last season we had was in 2016, and as an extra safeguard, we did have a random drawing for 40 access permits, and I believe 10 birds were harvested. So that's a very, very conservative hunting season, and it was a very unique opportunity for a handful of people that got to do that. Yeah, another thing that we'll talk about in the management plan as we get that finalized here in the next month or two is some of our recent research. I guess I just provided this picture as just a little bit of a teaser to some of the research that we conducted in Butte and Harding County on sage grouse in 2016 and 2017. We actually set up cameras at the nest sites for sage grouse to get a better understanding of what types of predators would take sage grouse nest sites. And as you can see here, there's an American badger that probably just found a sage grouse nest, and also had some other pictures of the occasional snake and coyote and stuff like that. So information like that can kind of give us a better understanding of what's happening out there. We also did quite a bit of work looking at West Nile virus, both in the mosquitoes that carry it and also looking at the birds and seeing if any of them had antibodies or resistance to that disease to kind of have a better understanding of what potential could happen in the future with West Nile virus and sage grouse. That's all I had for you today, a very brief presentation, and I'd sure be happy to take any questions.
The presentation, Travis. Any questions or comments from the commission? Really well done. Put together quite well. Thank you. We'll move on.